In the beginning, the earth was a dark, formless void. But then God spoke and said, "Let there be wrestling." And with that, there was Monday. And wrestling happened on Mondays, and God looked upon her works and said, "Holy shit, that's a lot of racism in video packages." On the second day, God got depressed, and lo, did she post about it on the DVDVR forums. And with that, there was Tuesday. On the third day, God said, "Let there be Wednesday." And lo, did the people reply unto her, "We know what that means."
And welcome back to another week of Wednesday Night Fake Fights, where we talk all things AEW. Once again, I am one of your hosts, Jeff the Token Mongoose, and I'm here with my cadre of awesome associates.
Pumped full of girl juice and ready to pod, it's Piper Willow. She it.
It is I, the queen of old school. Old school.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah.
Queen of old school, Erica Warren. She, they. I am full of beer.
Choking on the ECW arena smoke. It is I, Ella Taylor, with the she's and the hers and the hi.
Ella Van Dam.
Ella Van Dam. The whole fucking show.
The whole smoking show.
Now I'm mostly going to hit mute and play with my kitty.
The whole smoking show is a good one.
The whole smoking show. Oh, no.
The bowl smoking show.
Well, higher than RVD and flyer than Superfly, but never murdered anybody. As far as we...
Allegedly.
Yeah, we are still in a very extreme place this week. We are still at the 2300 arena.
Yay.
Is there, what is it? They got one more collision, one more dynamite, or?
I believe so.
How long is this going?
There's a dynamite, they'll do collision, and then next week there's a dynamite and collision.
And then another collision, and then they're done with the residency.
So like, yeah, next week is the last week for both shows.
Yep,
for sure.
Well, I'll tell you one thing for free. They could just fucking live there and I'd be fucking fine.
Yeah, it's been a great venue.
Holy shit. It's the vibe.
Mm-hmm. I love the residencies too. You really get this like built up association with the audience. Like the same thing they did down at Esports in Texas where they debuted Hologram and like really kind of set him off. They did, just these little, and you know, Daly's Place is obviously classic.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was more because of tragedy.
Yes.
Well, from the news I've heard, we might have more opportunity for pandemic shows and tragedy. So,
yeah.
Especially in Florida. Boo, the real world. It sucks.
Speaking of tragedy, Gabe Kidd is here. It seems like a transition.
Is he trying to take trans people's guns? anyway.
Yeah. He is from England. We don't know.
Tick tock, Darby Allin. Tick tock.
Gabe interrupts Excalibur running the card down. He comes out to call out Darby. Basically, they're still working this whole Darby Mox thing, and Gabe is the mercenary and not doing anything in New Japan anymore.
Whenever he's not on screen, everyone should be asking, where's Darby?
It's a good question. He kind of just shows up and chloroforms people now. So it's like, yeah, you need eyes on that little fucker.
The chemical substance, please.
Chemical substance. Unky Dardar's juice is what I'm calling it. That's there. Feel free to beep that.
That might be a little. Could be a little.
I didn't say it this time.
all of y'all that do the editing, do by all means. Feel free to censor me however you see fit. The funnier, the better.
Because I was doing the editing, just missed out on it, so it's gonna slip through.
What did I miss?
Oh
no.
Don't worry about it.
You'll find out.
No, because the last time...
Are you editing this week? You'll find out.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, last time I got the what do they call it? The roofie rag.
Oh.
That got through, and somebody on Blue Sky had been like, "Erica, what the fuck?"
But yeah, so Darby is here, and he jumps Gabe from behind, and they fight along the outside, and they brawl, and they brawl. And it's still just kind of this thing they've been running back with, Darby and the Death Runners. They do some cool stuff, though. Darby hits some crazy coffin drops. They fight around some more, and Yuta comes out, and Darby gets out the old gimmick, the old skateboard with the thumbtacks.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's bringing back all the classics, like the body bag, the thumbtacks.
It's extreme.
Hey.
Yeah, he's in his natural environment here.
Yeah. I did enjoy Gabe Kidd taking the coffin drop on his head and neck like a true Japanese wrestling star.
Mm-hmm. Nasty style with that. And I mean, Darby hits Yuta with the thumbtack board drop, and you see some like sticking out of there too. Like it was a pretty gnarly hit.
I figured it was just going to be Gabe Kidd taking it because he had the sweatshirt on, and I was like, okay.
Block it.
Yuta just took it full force.
Nope, it's Philly, so they're just going to fuck Yuta up every chance they can. Because
Like, okay, Yuta. He had a couple good moments on this show.
It was a highlight. He's been a highlight of this stay. Like, I mean,
well, he's local, I guess.
Yeah, he's been working again.
Forget he's a Philly guy.
Yuta might be the most over guy at the 2300 arena right now.
Yeah,
or he's up there.
He gets probably consistently more like heat than probably anybody but MJF. Like, he gets just constant in matches he's not even in. People just chant "fuck you, Yuta."
Fuck Wheeler, you.
Yeah, that is a
brunette guy walks by. Yeah, Darby gets Gabe in the corner, and the rest of the Death Riders come out. It's dangerous, but what's this? The lights go out, the hook symbol appears, and the cool music plays.
Tell the dolls.
Yeah, the hook symbol, the cool music, and Hook enters very slowly. He is sauntering. And not getting much of a pop, unfortunately. It's gotta be hard to get this back with Hook, but they're trying.
Yeah.
He hasn't done much of anything in the couple times we've seen him. He beat up Wheeler Yuta and got overshadowed by the ops in a beatdown. Yeah.
Which is pretty much what happens here.
I mean, he's been back for 2 weeks.
I know. Stuff to build
can't
on.
Be but... like, ah, oh, he hasn't done anything. Well, he hasn't done anything because he hasn't been back.
But I mean, he's like an established guy too. Like he used to be more old. But...
He kind of got a pop at Ring of Honor when he showed up to help Paul Walter Hauser.
That's true, yeah. And I'm not trying to rag on it. I like Hook and would like him. You know, I want it to work, but I just don't, you know, feel like something's got to connect. But I'll get into it. We'll get into it later here. I like where they're going.
I have a theory, too. Mm-hmm. He came back for this residency, basically. And he was at fucking Death Before Dishonor. And, like, he's showed up a few times now. I think they're kind of like, it's like, I think the shine might be a little bit off the apple from this crowd.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah.
Hitting it hard. So like,
he has been there like every show.
I'm saying. Yeah. So like,
yeah,
that's true. It's a little saturated. Maybe let him have a little bit of time in a different crowd to get, you know, get the feel back. Let the girls know he's back in town.
That's actually what he should do. He should make out with some people.
This is true.
Samoa Joe.
Just kiss a bunch of guys, kiss a bunch of girls.
There's nothing gets you as over as kissing Samoa Joe. That is a fact.
I don't think anybody's tried, so yeah.
I just think someone should give Joe smooches. Yeah.
Pinch his cheek a little bit. It's like, oh, who sounds like Will Arnett?
You do have a sweet tooth.
I see what you did there, and I don't like it, but I'll allow it.
Don't allow shit. This is our show.
Oh yeah, fuck, you're right.
Tape in the closet. Call back to early episode.
You're right. Yeah, okay, no, I'll get back in the closet, but I'm taking this with me.
And that's fair.
Tune into the secret video episode to find out what this is. Patreon.com/Monday Night Fake Fights. Or whatever the silly URL is.
Oh, are we recording this? I would have like actually done something with my hair.
No, we're not.
No.
I've left hints. Clues.
But now that Ella is out of the hot box, wink, wink. Yeah, as much hints, I guess. But yeah, the ops come out too, and Hook looks pissed off about it because they actually run while he was sauntering the entire way. Mm-hmm. You're stealing my kills. Like, you aren't even over there. Willow comes out with him too, because for reasons, just to like pick a fight with Marina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate. I'd say they just brawl. Everybody brawls around. They go backstage. Gabe and Darby are fighting back there. Gabe is just fucking talking like the entire time.
I couldn't understand a single fucking thing Gabe Kidd said here.
No.
He was, yeah, just... was just like, I'm the fucking angel of fucking darkness and God hates me, mate.
He said something about wanting to see the lights like leave Darby Allin's eyes while he choked him out.
I want to do it on a...
Like he's fucking Stormfront from The Boys. Like
he's going to do it on a Tuesday.
Monty Python. Like a kidney pie.
Brain hurts.
It's funny, most of our listeners are international.
Oh, shit. We're going to piss off all our international fans.
No, damn. And like every episode we make fun of British people. Like,
yeah, I was going to say.
I guess depending on the country, that could be a selling point,
Feel, I feel like some of them, especially maybe some of the Brits would be like, yeah, you know, Gabe Kidd, that's what he talks like.
The enemies of Wednesday night fake fights. Busted open. The Brits. Other B things.
Alkaline sometimes. Yeah.
Fuck you, Uncle Bully.
Wednesday night fake fight stands with an independent Scotland. Get
out of here. That's right.
Well, that's our number. Wales, that's our cause.
Wales, do you want a kingdom? Is that a thing? Has that ever been a thing? I don't know. Anyways, wrestling. We're talking about wrestling.
Well, Gabe gets himself a hammer and starts swinging it and missing it and smashing all kinds of stuff.
If I had a hammer. I'd kill Darby Allin.
That's Gabe,
Kidd talking. That's Piper doing an impression of Gabe Kidd.
Boy, if I had a hammer, I'd kill Darby Allin.
Now you just sound like you're from New Jersey.
What's the difference?
They did get like a really cool like near shot too. Like Darby was on the steps and like barely moved out in time.
Yeah.
And then Darby gets the rag and as Excalibur puts it, with its chemical substance. Definitely not chloroform.
Darby grabbed it and said, you know what we call this, brother? A rag.
I'm not saying anything. I'm saying nothing. I'm
trying so hard to just get past Darby at this point.
I know, but like I couldn't get over Excalibur just going, he's got that rag. Like,
rag.
Oh God.
The chemical substance.
I wanted to just say I do appreciate that everyone had like their little say, and then all of my pod children just kind of laid out in case I had something to say. You know, and in that moment, I was thinking, we're getting better at this. However, I got nothing that I can say. there's nothing that I should legally say into a microphone. So I'm just going to not say anything. But, you know, I want y'all to notice. I appreciate it. I think we're good podcasters. This is the talking about the show on the show episode of the show.
Mm-hmm. This is the everybody has a substance inside their body episode of the show.
I'm just very hydrated.
Darby got us with the rag, and now we're all a little bit goofy.
We all have our own chemical substance. Darby gets Gabe in the body bag, and Taz calls it Body Bag Jones.
Body Bag Jones.
Was body bag. Like it was like dead silence for a second. Everybody was like, "Come on, Taz, say the line."
We knew it was coming.
Body Bag Jones. I heard about him on last podcast on the left.
Shit.
Badoonch. That's a serial killer true crime joke for y'all.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
I know what it is.
Please feel free to cut that. I'm so sorry.
So my main thought about this segment was that the crowd was super hot for it, but then once they got to the back with Darby abducting Gabe Kidd, the crowd went dead silent.
Yeah.
Fucking creep. I'm saying, yeah, Darby does tie, chains the body bag to the back of a giant pickup truck and drags Gabe Kidd out into the streets of Philadelphia, presumably, killing
him. Yeah, he's dead.
One of these, I don't like that they're throwing up the random tweets up on the screen. However, there was a good one that popped up later in the night that was like, nah, Gabe Kidd is done. Philly is full of potholes.
It really is.
Yeah,
yep. It's bad. I wrote the same thing. I'm like, I don't like the tweets on screen, but I loved that. That cracked me up.
Yeah.
Yeah, the tweets on screen remind me too much of like 2015 WWE. I'm like, I don't this.
I need him to get gimmicks that aren't historic hate crimes.
It would be a nice change of pace.
Against sexes, races, like just anything.
You're gonna burn a giant key on their yard for truth.
Yeah, so. I'm sure he's done something phobic against Razor scooter enthusiasts. He just seems like that kind of skateboarder.
That entire backstage segment is like a bingo card of hate crimes.
Yeah,
kind of between the two of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
This, yo, what is this? Monday night fake fights? Jesus Christ.
Hey-o.
Hey. EC dub.
You nailed it, though. That's what it is.
Yeah, they're, I mean, that was the whole like false count anywhere match. Like, they're trying, you know, they're going for, there's some angle stuff throughout these shows. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Excalibur also runs down the card and announces that All Out is going to be available on HBO Max for, I don't know if they said it on air, but it's going to be like $10 cheaper a month if you're a subscriber. It's $40 if you get it through Max, which my sister and brother-in-law just stopped paying for the Max subscription. So,
oops.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
Undisclosed person who helps me out with that is going to get some Venmos.
I can't complain. I was going to say, they did it. They paid for it for a long time. I'll get it on Amazon.
While Excalibur explains this information and runs down the rest of the card, my Taz of the Week occurred, which was not a line from Taz, but it was him like realizing he's on camera, sprucing himself up, and then fidgeting with his pocket square, not able to get his pocket square set up, taking it out and just throwing it on the desk.
That was a great little bit.
So funny.
I miss Taz. As much as I love having Ian on and like covering Taz, he's a heart and soul of AEW guy.
Yep.
So they do a little Windsor Mercedes video package, but that's too much of setting up to come and match. Yeah.
Very fun. All I was going to say real quick is like just to agree that Taz had, it's the residency ADCW.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%.
We had to have the Taz. And it gets in. Yeah, it leads to my Taz of the Week. So go on.
They jump from that video package to Mercedes Moné versus Alex Windsor for the TBS title match. It's hard for me to say Windsor now. Like, the R doesn't come naturally. I didn't even mean to do that. It just automatically goes, ah.
Am I the only one that's over that bit?
I wrote down, like, they really are laying on the special in the entrance. She did it, like, five times.
Too much.
It was better when she did it herself and it wasn't the opening
a thing
for her song.
Yeah.
Her entrance thing. Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. The sting at the start, yeah.
The sting at the start might be a bit much, yeah.
And I'd like it, like, during the match, like, every once in a while, like, throwing out as, like, an exclamation point. But yeah, like, that's, and we've been talking about Alex Windsor, because I think she probably started around the time we started this podcast. Like, pretty close.
Yeah, they announced her right before All In, and she debuted in the Women's Gauntlet.
Yeah, so essentially we did like one episode. She's been on AEW since we started doing this show, which, you know, leads to really a more analytical thing doing this show because we're paying way more attention and going through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, yeah, we all like Alex, but like, we've all kind of said there's got to be something to connect a little more beyond just this little gimmick. You don't want to be Jake Hager in the hat. You need like...
Yeah.
Because like everything else about her is so cool. Like, I love her look. I love her wrestling.
Yep.
Love her sharpshooter.
The sharpshooter is great.
Oh, yeah. No, best sharpshooter in AEW for a long time.
There's just something missing, and I don't know what it is, and it's not Windsor.
Yeah. It's hard to get personality across with it. Like, he really trying to find that gimmick is such a fine line. Like I said, it's like something small can get over, like I said, you know, Jake Hager in the hat, but like you don't want that to be all you have. Yeah. Like, that can be a fun little thing that can get some pops, but you need to connect fast.
Yeah,
but luckily, she really does have that in ring to back it,
as she showed tonight.
Yeah, even if I get a little tired of the Windsor thing, like, I love to watch this lady wrestle.
Yeah.
And Mercedes still has all of her belts strung up like fucking laundry on the ropes.
It looks so cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It is. And she makes her own background. Like, so yeah, I thought this was a very, very fun match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was a great match. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
I like continuing the getting on her about submitting and like smashing at the bug. Like, no, I was just trying to squash the bug.
Yeah.
So like, I like how that gave a little bit of psychology, if you will, to the match.
Yeah, and that comes up back too, because later, like almost at the end of the match, Alex has Mercedes in the sharpshooter out on the mat outside, and Mercedes taps again. So it's again, it's not a legitimate, you know, match-ending tap out, but she did tap. So it still gives them like some back and forth. But yeah, there's some fucking huge.
It builds heat.
Yeah, there's some huge Boston sucks chants throughout this. Yeah. Philadelphia does not like Boston, I am learning.
Well, yeah.
That seems like anyone likes Boston. Like everywhere she goes, people chant Boston sucks.
Big Boston sucks chant. Shout out to the Save Our Septa sign.
Yes. Yes.
Please fix Septa so I can get to work on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Wednesday night job. Yeah.
A Wednesday night job fight.
Yeah.
Wednesday night job fights.
Yes. Like, yeah. My Taz of the Week, but I didn't write context down around it. Might not be my Taz of the Week, but it's one of them. He said, they're divided like a wet ocean, Shivani.
Yeah.
I watch live, so I can't pause, and I'm like taking these fast notes.
So it was the back and forth, like, chance for Mercedes and Alex.
Yes.
Shivani's like, the crowd's divided as you hear, and Taz is like, yeah, divided like a wet ocean, Shivani. He's like, yeah, I'm bringing my A game tonight.
Yeah, that killed me.
Excalibur is just like, can we get Taz to retire too?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
Taz seemed pretty happy that Tony was back this week.
Yeah,
they had some back and forth. Like, there was a point earlier where Tony is talking like Taz up and says like, yeah, you got a bunch of legendary moments in this arena or something. And Taz just goes, damn right, Shivani.
Yeah.
I also don't know what he meant by divided like a wet ocean.
I don't think he did.
Moses parting the Red Sea and it's divide.
I think he's trying to say the Red Sea, but it's Taz and he has concussions.
I'm ready to hear your thoughts here.
So I thought about this. I thought about like parting the Red Sea, that they're very divided, but also it's an ocean and it's wet and everybody is cheering for everybody because they love both the wrestlers. And that's what he was getting across. I'm putting way too much thought in this, given the reactions of my cohorts here.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think he put that. Yeah,
I think it's just the Red Sea thing. I'm not gonna lie.
You put more thought into this than Taz did. Yeah,
it is Taz, though. Who knows? Honestly, yours probably could be much more likely than Taz.
Divided like a wet ocean.
It's a great laugh.
Hey, baby, you divided like a wet ocean. Are you happy to see me? Yeah.
Heavy editing on this episode.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yeah, they hit some really cool spots through this. I really like the sharpshooter is kind of that centerpiece of the match, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Alex gets it tied up in the ropes at one point. It looks super brutal. They do the leg trap spot where they're doing the sharpshooter and then they kind of go flat and then they roll out of the ring together while their legs are still intertwined. I've seen that a few times and it always looks fucking gnarly to me. Like, I don't know how, there doesn't seem like there's a good way to land that.
No, because they usually like land face first.
Yeah. I mean, even you don't want to be on your side. That sucks. You don't want to land.
No, but like, yeah, like flat. Even if you take like the flat back bump, you can't do a flat back bump because you're locked in with somebody else.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you can't really plan how you're going to fall when the other person, you just kind of got to hope and pray, I imagine.
Yeah. It's a lot of great like reversal back and forth submissions as well between the what is her
the statement maker
statement maker. That's it. Between the statement maker and the sharpshooter, like just like going from one submission to the other, as well as like pulling that statement maker out of nowhere.
Yeah. Mercedes is so good at transitioning into that.
Oh my goodness.
I'm so glad they stopped using the like weird gory special, the Monet maker like thing that all the gory special into DDT that always looked awkward. Like I think I saw her hit it well once.
I'm asked for months. I asked for like a year. I begged. Give her any other fucking thing. And they finally would.
Just keep it. Because this is, it's the same finish you used in WWE and NXT. It was the crossface stretch. Yeah, it was a bank statement.
Yeah.
Bank statement.
They were. Yeah. And she does that like the backbreaker into it.
The like the roll through.
Stick every time. Yeah. She has a crazy like iconoclasm off what Alex is on the top rope. She grabs her hands and flips her over. And like rolls through into that. I was like, that was fucking sick.
It's such a great finishing sequence that it's also like, I understand you want to try new things, but like also don't fuck with that. Like you really nailed that shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Alex does some cool, she had the fucking Made in Japan at one point. I was like, holy shit. Jingo Windsor over here.
I've got that in all caps in my notes. Made in fucking Japan for two.
Yeah. And that's like we're saying with the catchphrase and the personality, like, it could still use some work, but once the match goes, I am just on board with Alex Windsor. So, like, I, you know, they'll get it, but, like, this, it just fucking rules.
I have a theory, you know, why I think, why I think it hits you wrong.
Yeah.
Awesome! Windsor! It feels...
You assume I don't love The Miz.
Get off this pod.
I'll crush your finale.
it's an audio medium. You can't. Jeff. You couldn't see me do the 555 come on now face into the fucking...
Yeah,
there was like, some... Are you kidding? Yeah. Fucking kidding me? Jesus Christ.
Get out.
There was some stank on that side. Get the
fuck out. I was a real world fan back in the day.
Get, I'm driving. Move. Give me the notes.
But no, it's a good match. So, Mercedes catches it into a roll up for the win. So again, Alex is still pretty protected in the finish here. Mm-hmm. But they keep the title on Mercedes like they definitely should have.
Yeah.
But oh shit, what is this?
Holy fucking shit.
Fucking Riho.
Riho is back out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Fucking Riho's back.
Giant pop. She heard Triple H was pulling some shit, so she had to come in and set things right. Mm-hmm. They're trying to fucking counter-program us. Riho's got to come and show them my rate.
Yeah. You don't fucking counter-program Riho, okay? You do not counter-program
Riho. She's my tribal chief.
Riho Reigns. She does kind of just come in to challenge for the belt and then disappears for like 4 months. So it's not the most inaccurate comparison.
And she is the OTC. She's one tough cutie.
Yeah. Yeah, she hits a nasty double stomp on the Mercedes while Mercedes says, attacked Alex, gets her out of the ring and grabs the belt. And I think they don't announce it yet, but a little later they are doing Mercedes versus Riho for the belt at All Out, which, fuck yeah.
It's going to be sick.
Riho's going to lose, but hell yeah.
I love Mercedes, like, just sitting outside the ring. It's like, what the hell?
Yeah, what the fuck were Riho?
What just happened?
Rio's just in the ring holding the belt like, it's a nice looking belt. Be a shame if somebody took it.
Yeah, she's just kind of like expecting it a little. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we all. I mean, I'm still, Riho's fucking awesome. She's so good. Mercedes is great against Joshi. Like, it'll probably be an amazing match. But yeah, they shouldn't take it off for you. Mercedes needs those 10 belts. She's got to beat Ultimo down.
She's going to do it. I don't know. I should. Oh, man.
I would love for Riho to win, but I don't think they're going.
Folks, everyone who hears this, even though it's probably not going to be time, join the Patreon so I have money to make signs for this show I'm going to, so I can ask Ultimo Dragon, are you pissed about this? Like you, Sharky.
I just picture you standing there with a sign that just says, "Are you pissed about this?" Question mark.
Ultimo, with no context.
With no context.
I'm getting a bunch of different colored Sharpies. I'm gonna draw a little Monet.
No.
Oh, okay.
It's not a good idea. Just like leaving it open ended about everything.
Put a picture of Monet with all the belts and say, "How does this make you feel, Dragon Boy?"
That's genuinely fantastic.
Crafts money.
Oh, yeah. You should make a post and try and get fundraise for that.
Folks, I already have a fundraiser going, but this became more important.
Yeah. Look, this is important. I need money to IRL shit post against the dragon.
How does this make you feel, Dragon Boy?
Yeah. Next, we go backstage with Renee, Joe, and Hobbs. Renee's asking about Hook, and Hook slowly walks up to them again. He says he's going to fight his own battles. He doesn't need the ops to back him up. And he's pissed that they replaced him with Powerhouse Hobbs before his body was even cold. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Joe agrees. He says, "We absolutely did that, but we had the opportunity." And Hobbs stood up, and they're not fighting Hook's battles. They've got their own issues with the Death Ring. Says that Hook will someday need their help. The ops have his back. And yeah, they all love him. They still love him, but storms off. And I genuinely like this. I think this is some good story stuff for Hook.
Yeah.
I like where it's going, but it did remind me that Hook is a kind of terrible promo.
Yeah, he's not much on the mic. There's a reason all he did was eat chips.
It's like, you left me alone.
That's why it was great when they had like him with Joe, because Joe could talk.
Yeah, he's like, talking like ba 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 ba, and then Joe's like, "Yo, come on, man! Like, I'm a TV actor. I'm Sweet Tooth, bitch."
He makes it feel natural. Yeah, well, Arnett.
You ever seen a greenhorn give a promo on an iambic pentameter?
You
what to tell you, kid? I'm Joe Bluth. You know.
You ever lip synced Will Arnett underneath a clown mask?
I have humped Anthony Mackie. You don't understand. Didn't Hook do some acting too? I thought that was like part of why he was away, is he had like a small movie role or something.
I'm guessing that the emphasis was on small.
If he did, I ain't seen it.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe just kind of like standing in the background or something. I could be wrong, but yeah. But like I said, I do like this as a good story for him. This gives there's some cool kind of like, it's not just straight heel face. There's an actual little back and forth between them where they kind of both have points and. I don't know. I'd be cool with Hook joining back up with the ops or facing off against him and doing his own thing. I hope something happens with it.
Yeah, it can kind of go either way at this point.
I think he will eventually.
Yeah. They're going to reunite Hookhausen, and Danhausen's just been a work this whole time.
I hope so. That was fun.
I'm into it.
Yeah, I like Danhausen, actually. Like, I have a lot of people rag on him.
But he's not a good wrestler. Oops.
Well, that's fair.
He is a good character, though.
Yeah, and that's he's wrong. I get why it didn't mesh, it didn't work, and he wants to go hang out with CM Punk. You know, if he can do that and make a bunch of money.
I think that if you want to be a good wrestler, you should be more than an internet meme. That's my scorching hot take on.
I don't want to say Joe Hendry or he'll appear.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. If you can just like that, if you can just be an internet meme, you don't need to actually wrestle well. You can just go get squashed by Randy Orton at WrestleMania and completely embarrass the company you're the champion of. Congratulations, Joe. You stupid bitch.
Yeah. We're leaving this in. Fuck you, TNA.
Total nonstop fake fights.
Total nonstop ass shit.
That awful Vince McMahon voice that lives in the back of my head because I was raised on that garbage wants to speak with you in his office.
It's going to be a very small office.
Yeah, it is. But it's like, I don't like your whole premise is flawed in his mind. He doesn't get it. In the meantime, I'm just over here looking for pictures of Mercedes with her, all 9 of her belts. For reasons, you don't got to worry about it.
Yeah. We jump backstage to a different part of the backstage now with Ricochet and the Gates of Agony. Or I don't know if they're just going by GOA now.
Goa.
I can't tell.
Goa.
Yeah. Which looks pretty cool, actually.
I mean, I don't know. It's going nowhere in my mind.
Gates of Agony kind of sounds like what a bunch of 13-year-olds would make up for a metal band that they're never actually going to form.
Like it's like
real Wild Stallions vibes.
Those days, bro, we're gonna start Gates of Agony and we're gonna tour in Norwegian.
Like, who the fuck was that NXT tag team? The Authors of Pain.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Gates of Agony, Authors of Pain, the
GOA just I like, you know, acronyms and shit. Goa. It's short, to the point. Looks cool. Yeah. But yeah, Ricochet says that his problems with the Hurt Syndicate predate AEW.
Ooh.
Calling about talking, you know, shooting. Say.
Pew pew pew.
Yeah, says it's for the Hurt Syndicate that it's business, but for Ricochet and the GOA, it is personal now. Even the Gates of Agony get a little promo here. They say they cost the Hurt Syndicate titles and other stuff that I don't recall. But they throw out a challenge for the Hurt Syndicate, all three of them versus Ricochet and the Goats. The Goats of Agony. They're very, very poor goats. to challenge them at All Out. So it's not a challenge, it's a demand. Which, yeah, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
I like it. Good promo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. These three have worked, just gelled very, very well.
Yeah. They've got a good look. I just hope I'm looking forward to, the vests look good. I'm looking forward to see them wrestle more.
Yeah.
Yeah, they haven't done much.
I think Gates of Agony have really improved a lot since what they were trios champions with Brian Cage with
The ROH trios titles.
Yeah, they were ROH trios champions and they were part Mogul Embassy with Swerve. They were Swerve's eaters. Like they did great.
Yeah,
in that, and they've gotten better.
I was kind of worried they'd fall into like the lackey role with this Ricochet thing again, but they just feel relevant now. They actually feel like they're part of shit.
They don't feel like lackeys. They feel like heaters, but not like in a derogatory way.
No, and they just feel like legit dudes. Like we haven't seen them wrestle much lately, but every time they have, they absolutely delivered.
They were awesome in the tag tournament that they had last month.
Yeah, without a doubt. And also they mention that Taz has been inducted into the 2300 Arena Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
Taz briefly thanks everybody. Apparently Taz explicitly, they wanted to put it on TV and Taz said no. He said he wants it to focus on the current wrestlers, that his times, he appreciated the accolades and all that, but he didn't want to take time away from the people wrestling today.
That's some Fed shit.
Integrity Jones over here.
This was actually my Taz in the Night, was him on Twitter telling Dave, because Dave Meltzer was like, I can't believe they didn't put this on TV. And Taz was like,
yeah,
I asked them not to. And Meltzer's like, I disagree. You should have. And he's like, you disagree with my personal wishes. So that's my Taz in the Night. Like I was reading that at work and laughing at it.
Really good.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Then out comes Mark Briscoe, where he talks about the 2300 Arena. It's where him and Jay fell in love with wrestling.
Yeah.
Gets a big Jay chance, which was cool. Says he's focused on Fletcher and he wants that TNT belt, but Don Callis said that he has to go through some people first and all that shit. Well, has to talk to Don Callis, which brings out big fuck Don Callis chance. Which I think it was Taz or Excalibur says, yeah, that said a lot backstage too.
Yeah. My Taz of the Night was Excalibur said, they're saying that a lot in this arena. And then Taz goes, yeah, he's saying a lot backstage too.
Oh.
Yeah, I was just like, write that one down. Like, I was like, that's my Taz of the Night. Burn Jones or whatever. I don't know.
No, that works.
I might be checked out. I'm on something here. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Don Callis looks like Elton John dressed up like a prosthetic penis.
For Halloween, no less.
Once he said it, I was like, oh shit, he kind of does.
I laughed at it, but like that was like such a long insult. Yeah. It's like, you look like it was like the fucking Tropic Thunder. I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is
who dresses up?
Who gave him this line?
And you don't dress up as a prosthetic penis. Like, why would you dress up? Why is prosthetic in there? Like,
differentiate
between dressing like a real penis and a prosthetic penis.
Not just he's dressed up as a prosthetic penis. He's dressed up as Elton John
dressed up as a prosthetic penis.
There's too many fucking layers on this.
But yeah, Don comes out, and I'm just like, shit, he does look like Elton John dressed up like a prosthetic penis.
Yeah, I looked at him, and I was like, you know?
Yeah, I kind of
get it. When you put it that way.
And with that scar, we call him Dick Slit Jones.
It's like he doesn't have the line. Yeah, prosthetic penis does come out, and he's got Lance Archer and Rocky Romero with him. Says he's busy getting Kyle and Josh ready for the main, but sets up Mark Briscoe versus Takeshita for Collision, which I'm pumped.
All right, we have to get this right.
Mm-hmm, please.
My husband, Kenosuke Takeshita,
is ready. Erica's husband. Briscoe.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Erica's husband, Kenosuke Takeshita, comes out in very big pants.
Those are workman's pants. Those are workers' pants.
Yeah, that's his fake wife's pants, Yuka Sakazaki.
That's a good looking boy.
Even Taz is just like, he looks so good.
Yeah, all black though. It's fucking sick. Tony starts talking about how lean Takeshita looks.
Yeah, yeah.
Taz goes, "What are you talking about? He has a shirt on. He's tall. He's wearing black." And he's like, "No, he looks great.
Trust me." Yeah,
yeah.
Believe you me, I can't wait for a reunion in a couple months.
The man is just straight aura though. Like, he comes out and it's just like, shit, that is champion. Even if he doesn't have a belt, he looks like a
champion. He is a champion. He's the 2025 G1 Climax winner.
That is true.
And that's not a champion though. That's a right to challenge for a championship. It's an accolade.
You get a trophy.
Yuffie. I'll count that. That's fair. To me, it's champion is like, you know, never open the way, like when he was that, you know, like something he's defending. But he's amazing.
Don't disrespect my husband, Jeff.
No, and I'm not trying to. He would whoop the fuck out of me.
He whooped the fuck out of me, let me tell you. Sex.
And Blue Thunder my bomb.
Tanahashi. Hiroshi Tanahashi.
He wasn't here. Shut the fuck up.
I'm sorry. You start doing Goodfellas voice and it's fucking all done. I'm sorry.
It's only one place to go. Tanahashi.
Mark says that Don likes to mess with Mark's head and he will whoop Takeshita's ass on Saturday, but he's ready to go right now. Came here to fight.
Yeah.
So Rocky Romero stances up, gets all fucking posed up, but Don picks Lance Archer, the murder hawk.
The guy who is dressed in wrestling gear.
But surprise, surprise. which I like Archer well enough. He does his job. Yeah. He's nothing exceptional in my opinion, but he can put on good matches.
I think he's a great wrestler. It's just very hard to take him seriously because when was the last time he won a match?
And he looks like a henchman in a 90s action film.
Right, but that's his gimmick.
He's the pin eater for the Don Callis family.
Yeah.
You got to have the lower of the tiers. He goes in and Mark jumps him right on the fucking ropes, drop kicks him before he even gets in the ring. The ref fucking books it out of nowhere, too. It's like, okay, yep, this is a match.
It's wrestle time now.
Yeah. It was a pretty short little nothing match. Archer gets heat on Mark and Mark hits some fucking cool spots.
Mark is bleeding.
Yeah. Honestly, like one of the cooler spots was, I think it was during the commercial where there's somebody in the crowd who had a Mark Briscoe is the man sign. And Lance Archer grabs it and tears it up the camera and goes, "You ain't shit."
That was great.
That was good.
I like that. I liked Tony Schiavone's brilliant commentary. He's like, Lance Archer is just a man. And Taz is like, yeah, he is a man.
Some point too where Tony says that Delaware is a great state, Taz, I'll tell you that. And Taz goes, yes, I love it.
And they said something about across the river. I do not believe you have to cross the river to get to Delaware.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think they
you
know. Don't.
Actually, no, you don't have to cross the river to get to Delaware. I'm here to tell you right now, somebody who went to Delaware for high school for 4 fucking years.
Geography Jones.
It's like Delaware's 20 minutes from where I'm sitting right now.
Yeah, you can get there hella quick.
Yeah.
I forget. It's all small over there.
The Geography Jones line came after a pretty nasty chop that Taz goes, yeah, they heard that one in Altoona.
Altoona, yeah. That's it. Archer was lighting him up with chops for a minute there. They were fucking loud. And yeah, I mean, it's, you know, Archer hits choke slams. Fucking big ass chokeslam that Mark kicks out of. Mark gets the strikes and gets Archer up for a sunset flip powerbomb that landed a little awkwardly. Archer got a hit to the side, it looked like, but Mark follows up with the froggy bow for the win. And yeah, he's ready to keep this Takeshita stuff going.
Yeah.
I assume this is all leading to him versus Fletcher at All Out, I'm guessing. Which will be a sick ass fucking man.
It'll be happening in the afternoon, so I'll see it without being a
I'd like to see it too, depending on if I have work or not. Yes.
Yeah.
Get to watch my. Well, no, my husband's not wrestling in that match. Kyle Fletcher's not my husband.
Not yet.
But he might be on a different match. Yeah.
He might be on a different match. Yeah.
Yeah. They haven't filled the card out completely yet.
We might just be at home kissing. Yeah.
They jump to a pre-tape for Toni Storm, where she talks about the 2300 arena as one of my favorite lines of the night, where she promises to be the most batshit bitch to piss in this sink.
Fuck yeah. Look, as a batshit bitch who used to play a lot of punk venues, I appreciate that sentiment, girl.
Mm-hmm.
That was exquisite.
Probably shouldn't pee in sinks, though.
Shh, you don't know my life. You don't know my life.
Batshit bitches make do.
I don't know, who am I to judge?
Yeah. If you can reach, go for it.
I think it's all, maybe not kitchen sinks.
Any port in a storm.
Yeah.
As they
Jesus
say.
Christ. Okay, this is going to turn into discourse. Continue, my
in a Toni Storm.
Oh, Jesus.
That's pretty good. Toni calls out anybody. She says she wants to face the best in the world and everything in between. And ends it on the line I like quite a bit, where she says, God doesn't judge. That's my job.
Oh, yeah, it was a banger. Mm-hmm. My exact thought at the end of this is how is it that just every single week she comes out and gives the promo of the year?
Yeah.
Like every fucking week.
Like, I get wanting to get the belt off her at this point, but she's also still like the best women's wrestler in the company. I understand why you want to keep her as the champion.
It's like, oh, it's been too long. I'm like, yeah, but have you considered that she's still like that little guy in the video game? She's on fire. Like, she's
never gotten bad.
Yeah, like this is the kind of run that wrestlers dream of. And
honestly,
you do not pull the plug until like you run the wheels off this bitch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, Athena would have been cool, but like, I'm very happy to see this. More Toni Storm on my TV is always
good. Yeah. And the other thing you have to consider is, I assume they are looking for somebody to beat Toni, who beating her will make them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody that really will benefit off it.
Yeah. Like, Athena, she might, like, being on Ring of Honor might be seen as a downgrade, but she's a made woman. Mercedes Moné. Yeah.
She's a star.
Woman. Total star.
Yeah.
Beating Toni could really elevate somebody.
We were talking about somebody who needs something earlier.
Mm-hmm. Hook.
Yes, Hook is going to...
Says she'd take anybody.
That's true.
Fucking let's go.
But no, I think Willow, for example, could really be... If she beat Toni, that would be like... To the
that star. Would... That would be it, yeah. Like, Willow's very, very over.
That's who I was getting at.
Windsor's
really good. Yeah, that would make sense, too. Yeah. Yeah, like, I say keep it going. Shit rules.
I maintain that the play should be Willow versus Toni Storm, because that was something I was looking forward to. Last year? Yeah, last year, I thought Willow should have won, but we got the Mariah May Hollywood ending stuff, and, like, that's great. I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
You knew better than me.
Yeah. No, it was wonderful, but yeah. I love Willow, though. I want Willow to get some, like, fucking
Yeah.
Yeah, they jump backstage to another part of the backstage, where Renee is with Harley Cameron and Chris Statlander. Harley says that the mask she wears does nothing, that she still got busted open by the Megasys, bled through it. Stat says the wrath is not in the mask, but in her, and rips the mask away. Cool little moment.
Feel the staff.
She still has the kitty face paint, which is awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they talk about what a great tag team they are, and Harley calls out Brodito, which was a very funny moment.
That's
Brodito.
Like, Renee was like about to like give her name, and Stats like, please don't give us the name. She's like, Brodito. Like, we're going for you.
Yeah, Stan's like, no, let's just stick with fighting like the women we were taught. Let's stick with our plan for now.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yuta comes out, tells Stat that the Death Riders have her back. And Arlie says that they have each other, and that Stat says that she got the message. Which was all right. Yeah, I'm cool with the Yuta stuff. But the best part was, oh you know, yeah, Marina was with Yuta too, and after they leave, Harley goes, they seem fun.
It was a very weird, it was like an unusually light segment that had featured Death Riders in it, because like Wheeler shows up and he's like, hey, Harley's hissing at him.
Yeah.
And then Marina, and then Marina just appears and Harley keeps hissing.
I think Yuta says like, hey, claws away. Like,
yeah. And like, there's just like the cat fight thing going on. And Wheeler's like, okay, I'm going to go wrestle now.
Yep. Harley's
he continues to be my second favorite thing in the women's division is Harley. Like,
oh, I thought you meant Yuta.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, give her time. Give her time.
It's really crazy too how Harley like came out of just being a side character on QTV out of nowhere. Like I'd never heard of her before that. And then she's in QTV with QT Marshall, and then she's now like the fucking most entertaining person in the company. Like she just showed out so much in such a short amount. Yeah. I'm exaggerating. Like she just elevated so quick.
I mean, like she really like I don't think it's that much of an exaggeration. Like she really like it's not even just that she came out of nowhere, but like she got really, really good really, really fast.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Like, and even just beyond the wrestling, she's just an entertaining. She's funny. She does the puppetry. She sings. Like she's just an all arounder like fucking talent.
She gets it. She gets it. She like,
and she embraces the campiness of wrestling. Like
yes,
yeah.
He's carny complimentary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Thank you, Australia.
She's from London, I believe.
Is he?
Oh no, she's from Australia. Yeah. She's from Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
It's London with extra steps.
Yeah, crikey. Take that, Brits. You can't have her.
Yeah.
Just in case anybody in Australia is listening to us now, we're gonna make fun of you for a while. We're going to get off every market here.
Well, thankfully, I don't think anyone heard me call Australians British with extra steps, so.
Don't worry, I'll fix it in post.
Do whatever you feel like.
Just all Australian accents in post that I feel at home. Just hit the Australian accent button.
We hit the dollar-redo filter.
Dollar-redo side. Yeah, Yuta is correct. He does have a match, and it's a tag team title match. Him and Claudio versus Brodito, which again, I'm so happy with Brodito being the fucking champions. Just put them on TV wrestling.
They need a real tag team name, I swear to God. But
it's stuck now.
I don't care. Brodito, they should know. Yeah. It's I am the Frito Brodito.
Embrace the whimsy.
It's not whimsy, it's lazy internet wrestling fan shit.
What do you think whimsy is?
That's whimsy is like unicorns and fun. This is just like, oh, what do we call them? Let's mash their names together, eh?
It's whimsical
whimsy. It's whimsy. It's fun.
Oh,
that's not look whimsy. At the little guys they have on their whimsy. Titantron. It's whimsical.
I mean, they themselves are whimsy. I like their gear and their merch.
I like that they're clearly friends.
So the name I like them doing friend gun pops at the in their entrance.
I love Bandito doing the barks too, like a lot. But you can tell they're genuinely like go back, like they've known each other a long time and they have just fantastic chemistry.
But like Brodito, like come
it
on.
Does sound like a new Taco Bell item.
Like, come on, I would
fuck up the Brodito hard.
Oh yeah, no, Brodito extra fucking volcano sauce on that shit.
$5 Brodito Lux box, fuck me up.
Yeah,
I'm there.
Diet Baja Blast, please.
I was gonna say zero sugar Baja Blast on that.
With the Brodito,
I'm trying to diet.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm telling myself as I drink Monster, the white monsters.
that's healthy for you.
I hate
that's
to be a stereotype, but those things fucking
they're the best.
Are awesome.
They sure do, and there's a reason I had to kick that habit, because every time I drank one, it was taking 6 months off my life. And when I was drinking three a day, probably time to change something.
It adds up.
You know what fix that? Beer.
white another white monster.
Go the other way, thank you.
Yeah. So I sent y'all a video that I wanted to talk about, and it was Claudio's AEW Death Riders theme. Mm-hmm. Holy shit. We've gotten to hear it the last 2 weeks, and I didn't really take notice of how cool it was last week. I was just like, oh yeah, this is good. And then like I listened to it, paused the episode of Dynamite, and went and listened to it in full. The like mashup they do of like the 1812 Overture and the Moonlight Sonata in this weird like just minor imposing final boss ass souls ass sounding music that like Claudio comes out to is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Yep. It's very imperial sounding, like fucking, I don't know if it's
actually funny you mentioned it. It's like soul, it's like a Dark Souls boss theme. Like I would fight Claudio over and over again, no matter who killed me, just like keep listening to it.
Yes. Yeah. It's one of those. And I was like really impressed, and we should get to hear that every week instead of the other Death Riders music.
Claudio went up to Rockets and was like, make me 40K the song.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
He even has a second phase.
Yeah.
Key shift to it.
It's like, absolutely sick.
I don't even know what his phase two would be. Is like after he hits the giant swing and goes into phase two.
He just swisses out.
Now I am Claudio Castagnoli, banker.
Claudio Castagnoli sounds like a Dark Souls or like a Bloodborne ass fucking like.
Granitus eyes.
Yeah, like Claudio shows out in this fucking match too.
He's so awesome.
I want to see Claudio versus Bandito for the ROH title. Like after this, that would be a fucking.
See, I wanted to see Claudio and Brody King just have a big old hoss fight.
Oh yeah, no, without a doubt.
I know, but like that was like one of the things I wrote down. Was like as soon as Bandito gets in there with Claudio, I was like, he's in his element, catching and throwing luchadors.
Yeah,
but that's like next ROH fucking pay per view have Claudio challenge for it. I mean, they would. Absolutely.
100%.
Yeah. There's some just like fucking crazy stuff between them. And like I said, I mean, it's these guys just are all, it's four dudes you know are going to put on a fantastic.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is going to be just work great.
And like, that's kind of the thing. There wasn't a whole lot to this match. Like, it was kind of short as far as like title matches go, but it was
jam packed.
It was so well done. It was like the perfect big guy, little guy tag teams fighting each other.
Mm-hmm.
There's one point where like Bandito goes for a fucking poison Rana on Claudio, and Claudio catches it, but then Bandito flips it into that, like turns it into that Yoshitonic like flip pile driver thing. Yeah. I was like, I've seen Claudio doing that spot since like, you know, the fucking 2010s with Mike Quackenbush back in the day, and it never ceases to amaze me. Like, it's just, it's such a physics-defying move to me. It's like, I don't understand how this happens. This is also where I wrote down that tweet that popped up. It's hella potholes in Philly. Gabe might be cooked.
He really is. Really is like, it's.
I like to see the word hella used.
It's fucking September, and there's so many potholes out here.
It's awful.
And say hello without Ella, so I'm in.
Hey! Yeah.
Hey! Ella.
Thank you.
I do want to let you know you have found your Halloween Blue Sky name. It's just Hella Taylor. You're welcome.
There you go.
I would have just said Halloween, but okay.
Thank you. That's where I was going, yeah.
Yeah.
Halloween, yeah. But yeah, they... this is a cool shit. I like that Yuta's still selling the fucking thumbtacks from earlier. Like, you get tagged in, he's kind of like, my fucking neck. I don't know why he sounds like that.
My fucking neck.
My groin.
Yeah, I'm Wheeler Yuta. That's what I sound like.
The part of Wheeler Yuta will be played by
Jack Balance.
No. Oh, God. What was that guy's name?
I don't know.
I can't remember the character.
Ernest Borgnine.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it's kind of. I'm just doing a old
George match. C. Scott and Wheeler Yuta getting spiked by thumbtacks.
give that man
my groin.
My groin. Oh, my neck. There we go.
God, I hate myself.
No, that's, you figured out who I was doing. That's perfect.
Georgie, Scott, and Wheeler Yuta getting slammed.
If I'm doing a voice, it can be traced back to a Simpsons bit.
I'm Wheeler Yuta.
My not my neck.
They go for their crazy little flip finisher thing, but Maria's in there. I'm trying to work through that. Marina distracts the ref, and Moxley comes out attacking Brody. Yuta and Claudio hit a fucking cool-ass like fastball special off the top. And Dado kicks out. They do that giant swing into the drop kick spot that always looks fucking cool. Darby comes out, backs Mox, because you can't have one without the other, apparently, at this point. But the end of this, I thought, was really cool, where I think it was Yuta's going for a dive or something, and Brody pops up and just smashes him with the fucking forearm, and Yuta's left draped on the ropes leading to the 21 blocks.
So, like, it was much less contrived than that move often is.
It was good setup. Yeah, like, that's an awesome looking move, but the setup can take so long sometimes, and it takes out. But this was like, oh, there's a reason he's fucking draped over him. He just got his head mashed in. But yeah, no, I thought that was a great way to do it.
Yeah.
Fucking cool-ass match all around.
Yeah, yep. I liked it. I do just, especially, I just want to say, I like that they call the fastball special.
Yes.
Appreciate that very much.
That was a good match. Moved along. They have backstage, and we've got Renee and Okada. Renee asks about the tension between Okada and Takeshita, and Okada says that he is the top dog in the Don Callis family, and then says the bitch. It's kind of like the Windsor thing, where it's like, all right, it's something beyond just saying the word bitch.
The look on Renee's face, I feel like, said it all. It's just like, could you not have given him something else?
Yeah.
Other than it's funny when he says bitch.
Here's the thing, is like, he thinks it's funny when he does it. Like, he's gonna do it until he gets bored of it, because Okada is essentially a huge man child. Like, that's
he's a comedy wrestler who was born in the body of a big man.
Yes.
Like, he loved,
but
I still love Okada, but it's just, all right, could we get something? It was the same thing happened during the Swerve feud. Like, there really wasn't much substance besides, like, I'm Okada, I'm really good.
Bitch.
I mean, there's not really much you can say, but, like, the very, very slow build for Okada Takeshita is awesome.
Yeah, and it's leading to that fucking, the build could be Okada pooping on a fucking chair outside, and if that match comes out, I'm stoked.
About this time that the ghost of George C. Scott managed to hear what talking we were doing about him, and did try and fireball our humble little theater. But lo, he managed to miss, and only hit our desk and damage our recorder and equipment. Any items related to any kind of cloning that may or may not be in said studio, as well as said theater studio, are all fine, but the rest of the recording was lost. It may or may not be up on the Patreon, as well as the explanation as to why I'm suddenly a Western gentleman, but if you want to go find out why for yourself, head on over to patreon.com/MondayNightFakeFights and hear just what happened. Thank you, and good night.